Do you enjoy this podcast but wish you had more weekly short doses of insights and nuggets? Well, if you didn't know, I recently launched an email newsletter where you can join and connect with a community of like-minded young women around the world, also on the journey of personal growth. This weekly email includes everything from mindful insights and finds, tips on living well, relationships, my personal experiences, and a lot more. Subscribe to get your weekly email newsletter. The link is directly in this podcast episode show notes, or you can head directly to my website at emilyelizabeth.blog and you can sign up from there.
Emily Elizabeth, and I'm the host of the What Fulfills You podcast, a show for and about individuals always seeking to be their best selves. On this show, we talk all about building the mindset, finding the right careers, creating meaningful relationships, and so much more. Welcome to the What Fulfills You podcast.
Hello, hello everyone. Welcome back to another episode of What Fulfills You. My name is Emily Elizabeth. I'm your host, and as always, welcome if this is your first time tuning into the show. For today's episode, I have on the lovely guest, Jenna Levine, who is the founder of Lene Botanicals. And this one is actually kind of personal to me. I reached out to have Jenna on the podcast, I think sometime mid-summer of last year or late summer. And I personally wanted to have her on the podcast because I have been using Lene Botanicals since, I want to say, like April of 2024. And this was also at a time where I started to pay attention to a lot of different things in my health when it comes to holistic health approaches. And so I definitely went on a bender of going non-toxic on a lot of things. Not that I wasn't already, but I definitely took it up a notch, and that included skincare and hair care. I became more mindful of my protein intake, as I talk about a lot on my Instagram as well. And again, a lot of these things I already had in practice naturally, but it was at this point of April 2024, give or take, where I started to be more aware of, am I actually doing these things or not? And I decided to take a more conscious effort in making sure I made these shifts into my life and going the clean beauty route was also something I was adamant about. And I know in the process of switching to Lene Botanicals, which, by the way, I've done several reorders now, I am genuinely an avid user and love the products and just love the way it feels on my skin, love the way it smells as well. And I have a few different products from their line, so I do genuinely recommend it, especially if you are someone that is curious about going into or shifting your products into more clean and non-toxic beauty, as I would put it. And make sure you stay tuned to the end because there is a little promo code that the founder and the team also shared with you guys to use on your purchase. As always, with most of my guests, we dive into an array of topics. Of course, we dive into holistic health and skincare and the background of Lene. But we also dive into just Jenna's wisdom and insights from her personal experiences throughout life, especially when it comes to navigating life in her 20s and 30s, and also the core element of it all, which is around connection and especially the relationships that we have. And so I'm so grateful to have had Jenna on this conversation. With that being said, let's welcome Jenna Levine to the podcast. Jenna, thank you so much for joining me in the studio today. I'm very excited to chat with you because I am a personal user of Lene, and I have been for the past like 7-8 months. And so I'm an advocate for
holistic health and learning about these things is something I personally dove into earlier this year. And so I'm just excited to talk about all the things.
Thank you so much for having me. I look forward to the conversation as well.
I would love to start with holistic health and your personal journey and kind of sharing more about why you were even interested in that in the first place. Because I actually have also seen videos of like the way you cook and just like beyond skincare, because I do believe it's a lifestyle more than just one way of application. So can you share a little bit more about like that backstory?
So I grew up in a medical household with a mother who is incredible in the kitchen. And so I got to spend a lot of time with my mom learning about the medicinal qualities of the foods we ate. And she really let me participate in the kitchen. And so not only did I develop kind of a love of just understanding how foods can support us and heal us, but I also really loved the alchemy of recipe development, the creativity of transforming food. My father is a conventional medicine doctor, a surgeon, professor of medicine, and in my studies over the years, I've much more gravitated to herbal medicine, to Eastern medicine, Ayurvedic medicine. But the one thing that he really did impart within me is this really love of taking care of people and of using all of our tools to just to heal the body. My mother, her style of cooking was really rooted in the Hippocratic axiom, let thy food be thy medicine. So we ate really beautiful, variety of produce. But she was never like a macrobiotic kind of cook, anything too woo-woo. I really got that influence actually from, my best friend growing up. Her mother was very new age. We always would go to her house and she would be preparing, you know, a green juice and, you know, be wrapped in castor oil packs and have feng shui crystals. And, you know, really it was imparted in every little aspect of her life. And my friend Julia wanted nothing to do with it. So she totally rejected all of it. But I was fascinated. And I don't know if it's because she, Diane, her mother, I don't know if it's because she would like catch me doing weird things like smashing sweet potatoes and papayas on my face or, you know, which came first. But she ended up giving me this fabulous book by Greta Breedlove called The Herbal Home Spa. And it's kind of just this like 90s health food store recipe book of things to make for the body. And I used to study that book. I made almost every recipe in there. I made these facial masks and so forth for my mom, for my little sister, who of course needed no skincare because she was like 7 years old. But I loved mixing tomatoes, cucumbers, almonds, apples, honey, whatever I could kind of find in my pantry. And I also really loved reading the glossary, the kind of encyclopedic sections of these texts that really talked about the medicinal qualities of each ingredient. So I always just was really fascinated and was really lucky to be nurtured by the people in my life, the adults in my life, to pursue that.
How old were you when you first discovered all of that?
So I remember being a little kid on my on the kitchen counter, playing with my mom, letting me mix things, taste things, really feel, you know, the quality of certain ingredients in my hands. So it was a very sensorial thing from an early age. But when I really started making skincare products from these recipes was around 10 years old.
Okay, so that's like early on. And did you ever think that you could maybe turn that into a career, even if it was in your own skin line, but that you would maybe work in that field? Or
I had, like most, I don't know, maybe 10-year-olds now have ambitious plans. I did not have any plan. It was always something that I continued to have interest in throughout my education and career.
Yeah.
But I didn't end up really exploring it on a focus level until maybe, I don't know, 15 years later.
Oh, wow.
So, but all along the while, I'd always worked with plants. Always was, I mean, in college, I was really studying Chinese traditional medicine on a very, you know, amateur level, and used to keep herbs and in my dorm room and, you know, make decoctions and things for friends when they came over. And I was always really passionate about cooking and feeding people and nourishing people through food.
Mm-hmm.
I was, I worked on farms. I've been a volunteer for some really important organizations like Cooking Matters and Common Threads, teaching people how to eat really healthful, wholesome food and cook for themselves on a budget. So all of these kinds of things have always been really important and a lot of reoccurring themes, I would say. But it's been this kind of really winding journey to that brought me to Lene.
When it comes to lifestyle and how you've incorporated it into like the way you eat and, you know, that, I guess you could say, philosophy around like food as medicine, which is something I also share as well. What kind of came first? Like for me, for example, I'd say the physical fitness aspect came first in my early childhood days. And then I think skincare obviously came about in my 20s. And again, as I discovered Lene, I became a lot more curious about different products and holistic remedies and other more conventional routes. Like, what was that process for you? Like, did you always kind of have, because you were exposed so early with eating this way and kind of treating food as medicine, was that always something you kept consistent through college and like into your 20s? And that's how like skincare and maybe doing that became more natural?
Yes, it's always just been a part of me. I mean, I'm laughing thinking I was just chatting with a girlfriend of mine from college who was teasing me because I used to collect pine needles and toast them in olive oil and like snack on young pine needles. Oh, and she thought I was totally cuckoo. And then in her she was doing like a Zen Buddhism course and I heard her like kind of squeal from the other room. And it was because she read in her text that eating young pine needles, like, you know, helps you like forget something fabulous and transcendent and losing your ego or something. I was like, see, so it's always just been this kind of really playful and exploratory thing. It's never been guided by trend or other people. I think I've always felt just very at home in the natural world. Mm-hmm. And even just looking at the extreme diversity, we don't get to see it so much in an average grocery store, but there's just unbelievable diversity among plants and the just the physical qualities, the design element of plants is just so remarkably just spectacular to me. The way that they evolve and the way the symbiotic relationships among plants and insects, I mean, all of that just really has always blown my mind. And there's just something to me that's very magical and otherworldly because it's so incredibly detailed and specific and evolutionarily brilliant. Mm-hmm. And then also it's also so concrete and so defined and mathematical and scientific. And there's just something really sweet in that combination.
So as you're saying that, it makes me think about, like, I wonder what it looked like when you were first starting Lene. And, you know, as I read your story, how, you know, you're starting this in your kitchen and kind of, I'm sure, mixing together different ingredients for different oils and the serum and whatnot. How did that start in terms of how did you know what ingredients to mix for the serum and also like the different oils, which I actually like, I use the serum and both the oils and I've used like the Refresh Mist, like all of it. And so like, how did you kind of play with that? And if I'm not mistaken, you started this like back in 2016 or so, give or take.
Correct. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. So it started a little bit before that, actually. I was studying botany and herbal medicine and living out in Northern California. And I was doing an intensive certification there. This was over the course of a year and spending a lot of time living out on the land and with others doing primitive camping and foraging for plants. And I had not long before that, I had moved from New York. And one of the things that was so striking to me about California, specifically Northern California, where I was based, was just the aromatic qualities of the different life zones. And so with this group, we traveled all throughout all of California, from, you know, dry desert to lush alpine, you know, lake mountain areas and everything in between. And each place had such a different aromatic quality. So what originally, so we all had to do a thesis project. Originally, what I thought I wanted to do was just basically capture each life zone in a fragrance blend. And so I was collecting plants really in this very respectful, responsible way where we were taught how to wild harvest plants in a way that was really responsible. And so I would do that. And then I had a copper alembic still, and we would build a fire at night, and I would distill the plants of the day. Wow. And so I had these kind of little fragrance capsules, these kind of really poetic little fragrance capsules of place. And I, they were mostly hydrosols. So they were fragrance, but in a more water form.
Okay.
So I turned them, I added oils and butters and waxes and then turned them into creams.
Oh, wow.
So that they could be worn and have more lasting power through the fats that kind of held them more on your skin.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I got really back into skincare simply through making these creams. But I wanted to do, I knew that it was also, for me, it was more than fragrance, because the project, when it started, it was really, I was just so blown away by these aromatic environments. But I was also in that time really, really learning so much about the medicinal qualities of these plants. And I knew from being a doctor's daughter that I didn't want to become a doctor. I was also a little late for that. But I knew I wanted to work with plants and work with people and use them in a healing way. And so this kind of all transpired around the same time that my little sister, who once had perfect, you know, skin and was letting me make apple and honey masks for her, had really bad, she developed really bad cystic acne. And she went on a course of Accutane that really destroyed her skin.
Yeah.
And, she was living in New York. I was living out in California. We met for a family trip in Mexico, and she couldn't even be out in the sun, and she was so uncomfortable. And I felt this real call to find a solution for her. Meanwhile, I was also dealing with psoriasis. I had psoriasis on my abdomen and legs, and was, you know, constantly being prescribed steroids and medications that didn't really align with my principles.
Yeah.
And I was learning about all these really healing plants and was finding myself, again, reading tomes, basically true encyclopedias of skincare ingredients, of natural skincare ingredients. And I just was so hungry to work with these ingredients and just started kind of ordering things and playing. And I was introduced to Hillary Peterson, who was working with Marie Veronique, and together created this brand called Pacific, which ended up spinning out and becoming True Botanicals. Oh. So Hillary took True and Marie Veronique kept her own brand. But Hillary Peterson and I met, and we met for coffee, and she offered me a job on the spot. And so I got to go work for Marie Veronique doing product development and production with their team. And I just loved it.
Wow.
I loved it. And I just started ordering more and more ingredients and started really working towards creating a product for my sister.
Oh, wow.
And that's really where it just like was one of those things where all the timing just aligned. I felt like I had this learning opportunity with Marie Veronique, and I had my sister presenting a real need, and I was in beautiful California where there just felt like this incredible abundance of medicinal plants and foods. And so it was just this kind of very aligned time to explore. And while that was happening, Marie and Hillary began their split. And so there became this moment when I was temporarily out of a job because they didn't really know what they were doing with all their employees.
Yeah.
And I had been talking about moving back to New York with my partner at the time anyways. So we kind of just packed up and we moved back to New York, and I just started really working on my formulations. And it was interesting, and not to totally sidetrack from your original question, but it was really interesting coming back to New York, having spent so much time in California, so close to the plants. I originally felt like there was something that felt so much more forced in New York to try and continue this kind of lifestyle and this work where I felt so disconnected from the source. And then when I was able to reframe it, I realized how essential actually the work was to do in New York, because in California, it was so easy for me to just step outside and be surrounded by nature and feel that incredibly important connection and grounding. And in New York, that's so much harder to achieve.
Yeah.
Nothing like stepping on canal streets to prove it. For me, as I was developing this line here in New York, it was for me, it was about creating products for my friends and family that allowed us to have that nature connection.
I see.
I really believe, and we know this from scientific evidence, that time in nature and contact with nature is so restorative and just essential to our health. And certainly with all the sensory stimulation here in New York, you know, this concept of coming to your, in, you know, into this kind of private space, your bathroom, this quiet time, this opportunity for tuning in, for self-care. Yes, you know, the wonderful side effect is beautiful, healthy, radiant skin, but also it's, you know, this real time to just truly connect with nature.
I really love how you shared that you had a reframe, because I was thinking about how, for example, I've heard
those. And don't get me wrong, because I actually lived in California. I lived in Southern California at one point for college. And I certainly see climate and environment differences, of course, between New York City versus, let's say, Orange County, where I lived. But I couldn't have, I'm such like a, what do you call it? Like, I'm someone that loves mindset and reframing and kind of reshaping the way one looks at life and how it can produce very different results in your life. And I'm kind of curious, how did that come about for you? Like, for example, were you ever at one point when you were here in New York before that reframe, were you thinking, oh, you know, maybe I should be in a different environment that's not the city, that is more, you know, nature and more connected, because that's also maybe more natural to me? How did you go from maybe something like that to realizing, for example, maybe like these products that are now Lanae, like they're great to be created in a place, in a city where people like myself would end up like using it eventually and like feeling that connection. Like, how did that reframe come about for you, if you remember?
I broke up with my boyfriend of 4.5 years.
I love that you said that too, because I started this podcast because of a breakup. So there's always, yeah. I love that. Thank you. Yeah.
It was quite a departure. I was living this really like sort of in touch, beautiful, kind of romantic existence in Northern California. And then we kind of, in this very bold move, moved back to New York. Mm-hmm. And as anyone in their, you know, mid-20s does, you move in where there's free rent.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a, by any means, an uncomfortable or not trying to sound spoiled. It mm-hmm. was just, it was an apartment on a very high floor mm-hmm. near the like Second Avenue, Queens, like the bridge that goes to Queens.
Yeah.
They were in, it was the middle of like, it was, we moved in when they were doing massive construction.
Okay.
And so I moved from this like indoor outdoor lifestyle to basically being in like a hermetically sealed box where I couldn't open the windows.
Wow.
Or maybe you could, but it was like in such a, you know, unsatisfying way.
Yeah.
And then we had this constant, you know, drilling when my life was no longer kind of distracted by all of this like really nourishing nature. And I realized that my, and this wasn't like the first time I realized it, it was just kind of the straw that broke the camel's back. Mm-hmm. I recognized and honored that I was not in a healthy relationship. We parted, uh-huh. and it was this just really fascinating time. It was my Saturn returns for sure. Do you know about Saturn returns?
I've heard of that. Is that around 28?
Yeah, it's around like, for some people, it's like between 20 and 30, I think, for most people. And I was 28.
Oh, okay.
And it was this, it's what happens is Saturn, I guess, is in the exact same place when you were, as when you were born.
Okay. Yes. I've
and it's
of that.
Mm. kind of supposed to be symbolic of this kind of like time for, you know, rebirth in a sense, where you really dig deep into the things that are working and you let everything else go.
Yeah.
And, so I let go my partner. I was, you know, well, let's just talk about all the positive stuff.
Yeah.
I moved into Park Slope, which was definitely more my speed.
Okay,
than,
very cool.
Midtown at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Basically started really focusing on Lanae.
Mm-hmm.
I had also, to support myself during all of that, was reconnecting with colleagues doing set design for the fashion industry, but really focused on actually doing all of the like flower and plant styling for sets.
Oh, wow.
It was a really fun creative mm-hmm. time as well. Cause before I left New York for mm-hmm. California, I was doing set design for the fashion industry with some of the same folks. And then, yeah, not long after that, met the man who became my husband. So, but in that, you know, year and a half, everything, I just shake it out.
Yeah.
So,
Wow. I mean, I'm feeling that as you share that, because that is a, like, that pivotal shift and moment is a big question that a lot of young women who listen to this podcast often, I think, are feeling and are always curious about. A lot of them are on average like 25 right now, and they're going through everything you can imagine a typical girl in her mid to late 20s experiences, the career changes.
It's, the 20s are fun, but that was hard.
Okay, so I'm sure many would want me to ask, and if you don't mind me, from number one, how did you have, I think, the mental guts to, I think, do the thing that you knew you needed to do, which was to end that relationship? And also, if you recall, how it felt once you did meet your now husband, because you mentioned it was probably like within 2 years or so of that. What was that thought process like? And as you're going through the shift of, maybe starting slowly to start to focus on Lene and building that before, I'm sure before you didn't even have a name for that yet. But like, as you're kind of, navigating 28, 29, 30, and then you meet this new person that you wouldn't have predicted maybe a few years prior, looking back, like, what are some of the thoughts that you would share for a listener that could be in a similar place?
I think the most important thing for me, which was both the reason why I stayed in that relationship too long and also why I think I was so attractive to my husband, mm-hmm. but is that I have so much going on in my life outside of my relationship that I get so much fulfillment from my friends, from my career, from my hobbies, from my family, that I could tolerate, I think, someone who wasn't that partner is my ex is a good person. Absolutely. He just had, he was just an emotional drain. Mm-hmm. And I was so positive mm-hmm. for so long. I was able to hold the both of us up.
Yeah.
Without recognizing that I was also really kind of tapping my energy.
Yeah.
And that he truly was weighing me down.
Yeah.
And so while I was in, essence, lonely at moments mm-hmm. and lonelier, mm-hmm. I never let myself feel alone because I was, I trusted myself. I just remember lying in bed and really holding myself. Mm. And I fast forward when I met my husband, he mm-hmm. had to pursue me pretty aggressively because I was so focused on launching Lene.
Yeah.
We actually went on our first date in the same week that I ended up launching the brand, and only really then because I was finally coming up for air. I was so interested in him, I wasn't making time for anything that I couldn't guarantee was a reasonable investment of my time.
I could see that. Yeah.
I was going on a lot of friend dates. Absolutely. With women.
Yeah.
Fellow entrepreneurs getting started. Yep. I was like put on all these like super fun, blind dates with fabulous women and many who continue to be my friends. Mm-hmm. And so that felt like a much more satisfying use of that time. And I know, I just feel like dating gets just increasingly more challenging.
Yes.
But I had done like very briefly in that time, a girlfriend put me on Bumble.
Uh-huh.
And I'd gone on a series of dates and I could have fun with anyone. Mm-hmm. I never wanted to see the guy again.
Yeah.
And so it just, totally. So I'll tell you, this is funny and maybe a little off topic, but so for weeks, my now husband was trying to ask me out. And it really ended up being like over months. But
I love that.
and I told him, I was like, connect with me in 2 weeks. Like, I can't even talk to you in 2 weeks. And so he reached out and And I was living in this apartment, and I was shooting all day. It was one of my last freelance gigs. I was doing actually the makeup, which is something I usually don't do, but I was doing the makeup for a Murray's Cheese photo video shoot in their caves in Long Island City. So I was basically in a refrigerator for 8 hours.
Oh my.
And I had no heat or hot water in my apartment for 4 days. Oh. I had turned off the heat and hot water. And it was like very early April when, you know, in New York, it can be so damp and so cold.
Yeah.
And I got back to my house after this day of work, and I took one step in my house, and it almost felt colder than it was outside. And I was like, nope, I'm going out to dinner. And so I called Duncan back, and I was like, okay, I'll meet you for dinner.
Oh my gosh.
And wow. I also had a broken toe, and I showed up wearing a purple ski sock and gold sandal on one foot, and, you know, I don't know what else on the other foot, but wow. I was a real, like, take it or leave it kind of girl.
Oh, I love that. Okay, I love that. Wow.
But we ended up having a fabulous time, and
yeah,
I moved in with him 4 months after that, and we were married, or not married. We took a long time to get married, but we got engaged, like, I don't know, 7 months after I moved in with him. So
oh, wow.
It was just like one of those things when you know, you know.
I've heard that a lot.
But I, and gosh, that first evening too, I was basically like, these are my triggers. This is what I'm into. These are like things that make me feel vulnerable.
Yeah.
You know, I will never be this in the relationship. I mean, he's such a gentleman, but I think I even told him that night. I was like, just want you to know I'm not sleeping with you. Like, I was probably so aggressive, which isn't really my style.
Right.
But I was just like,
yeah.
No time to waste, baby.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier that there was something about you. I don't know if it was the positivity and like the light about you that you said he was just attracted to. But I'm curious, like, for example, he met you at a time that you were like, you know, basically starting to build this thing, right? And a conversation I do love to have, especially with other female entrepreneurs and founders, is how that dynamic is. Because, for example, as you can imagine, today there's just unfortunately such a mix of, you know, these expectations on these specific gender roles and all of these different things. And I have seen it firsthand how it has affected my friends, even myself a little bit at times where you don't realize that there are male partners that are extremely supportive and excited for you. And I've another girl that was previously my last guest, she expressed the same experience where she had that. And then one day she met her now husband and she saw what it felt like to be with someone who was excited and supported her in her own entrepreneurial endeavors. This guy was also an entrepreneur. And so I was curious if there was any element of that you had felt or experienced when you met him and his level of, you know, just general support of like, hey, that's awesome that you do that, versus if you've had any experience or have seen experiences of other women where maybe they're not as like lifted up from their partner, and that can be of course also draining.
Yeah, I mean, that was really the 180 that I experienced between the two, where I think the partner before, you know, I wouldn't say he doubted me, but he didn't encourage me in the way that it was interesting. I felt like for my relationship prior to work, I needed him to encourage me, whereas I had done so much growth between my relationship with the man should not be mentioned.
Yeah.
And my husband, that I didn't need anything from my husband.
Right.
And I think that just allowed him to be whoever he was. And then for me to decide if that was the right fit for me. And so, I mean, I think just in general, what allowed us to work mm-hmm. was that I was allowed to be me and he was allowed to be him, and it felt good to both of us.
Yeah.
But he has always been so supportive, and
yeah,
I'm very, very fortunate to have both a very supportive family.
Did you guys know on the first date that, I mean, did he know that he was going to marry? Did you guys ever talk about?
He knew he was going to, that something was going to happen to us. About probably, I don't know. When we first met? We met like maybe 4.5 years before that. We actually met right before he moved to San Francisco.
And oh, really?
So
you guys met in New York?
We met in New York through girlfriends.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, that's the girl. That's the one.
Oh, wow.
And then he moved to San Francisco.
Shortly after.
Like the next day. Like, it was a good, it was, long story short, he was basically invited to brunch in Brooklyn with what he thought was just one of his girlfriends, and ended up being a handful of us wild women. and that's where we met. But he was invited by his friend because she had missed his going away party, and she wanted to spend some time with him before he left for San Francisco.
Wow.
And that's the other thing too. I met Duncan through actually a handful of women, other women as well, we reconnected to, and it was always a very attractive thing to me that he had female friends. And I know that's not something everyone feels comfortable with.
Yes.
But he grew up with two sisters.
Yes.
Younger and older. And I've always really loved how close he can be with women. It's never, ever made me feel jealous or concerned. And that's also because we have so much trust in our relationship.
Yeah. Wow. I love that you share that. And thank you, because that's also something I think I've seen. Interestingly, I never thought much of it, but I have an older brother. I'm very close with my dad. And I think in the past year or so, I would see these different clips on social media about, oh, is it right for a man or a woman to have friends of the opposite sex? And I remember scratching my head thinking, like, that's a thing? Like, that's a question? Because I grew up naturally, you know, like very easygoing with other guys just because I have a brother and he's 8 years older. And so I'd see some of his guy friends. And to me, that was normal. And then suddenly I remember it started to get to my head, like, is that a bad thing to have friends of the opposite gender? And I love that you shared, like, how you actually found that as a positive aspect. Because for some girls, that right there could be a simple reframe as well, just hearing you say that. I want to shift a little bit into, I think, balancing between your relationship and then also as you were building Lene, and then, of course, as you became a mother. How did that then kind of go about over the years, and once you got married and as you were building a family, how did you kind of, I guess you could say, quote unquote, balance all of that together?
Everyone can do it. The founder of Parachute Home and I had a conversation when I was first getting started, and she said very confidently, Jenna, you can have it all, but there is a big but. You might just not be able to have it all at once.
Mm.
And so I think, you know, that's true in a variety of ways. I think you can have... And I think there are people who actually do manage, but something always sacrifices, whether it's, you know, time for yourself, time for your friends, whether it's, you know, deciding. In my case, I decided to have a business and have a child, but I don't have a business that, you know, requires me to, you know, be on the road. It doesn't really require, I didn't opt to have an investor, so I don't have, you know, Sephora or certain kinds of, you know, forces kind of breathing down my neck.
Yeah.
So I get to do things at my own pace. It's made for us, you know, to have a business that's definitely, it's on my time. Mm-hmm. So it's so consuming, but it's definitely, you know, it's resulted in super steady but slower growth.
Mm.
So, you know, I think there are some truly unique and exceptional individuals out there who at least on are on the social media perception level are doing it all in leaps and bounds, and you know, have like 5 children and you know, insane businesses with, you know, they also have huge teams.
Yes.
I think it really, the short message here is find whatever you need to support you, whether it's a fantastic babysitter or, you know, building your team. Simply put, it takes a village. Yes. So wherever you need to find support, I think you find that support.
Was that something your husband was always also an advocate for, in the sense of, you know, if you want to do those things, go for it? There was never any kind of, I guess you could say, pushback. And I say that only because I know of other women often being curious about, for example, I actually know someone personally where she maybe like has the ambitions to be able to have her own business and also eventually have a family, and doesn't want to have to pick one or the other, but maybe she's experienced dating someone that might have planted that in her head. And I'm asking, I guess, like, what does that look like when there is more of that supportive conversation?
I think everyone just, you know, deserves to create the life that they want to live. And there's going to be someone out there for them who wants that for them too.
Yeah.
I really just believe that. If you also want to just be a stay-at-home mom, fantastic. If you if you're not interested in kids and careers, what's important to you, fantastic.
Yeah.
Just find yourself a partner who's on the same page. It just makes it so much easier.
Yeah.
My husband grew up in a community where a lot of his female friends and male friends, his friends, started families earlier than we did.
Yeah.
Having especially particularly our friends in New York versus his friends at home in Connecticut, who stayed home in Connecticut.
Yeah.
Women just, like, at least among my group of friends, we really took our time to become mothers. And it was actually really funny. About 7 girlfriends of mine all became pregnant in that first, like, couple, like, weeks, months of COVID, because we were finally like, okay, I guess
we
can't really be at, like, 10,000 events and running around the city, so we'll make a baby. It's actually so wild how many, like, my daughter has so many little buddies just her age through my friends. He never put pressure on me, but it was very much, he respected that it was very much on my time. And I mean, one of the sort of crazy things too, and I'm talking with so many women about right now, is we wouldn't relive the way we lived. We're so happy to have had all that time for ourselves and careers.
Yeah.
But it's also so interesting to now be in a time of our life where we're, you know, ready to have, you know, our first child, second child, third child, whatever it is. And then, you know, having increasingly more issues conceiving. And so that's like a whole nother can of worms. But it's challenging. You spend your whole life trying, you know, not to get pregnant. And then you know, want to focus on your career and you do that. And then you're like, okay, I'm ready for kids. And it's, I mean... it's just, it's hard. I think it's hard to be, you can have it all. It's just, it's hard, and you have to work really hard for it every day.
Would you do anything differently?
No.
Yeah.
I have a 4-year-old and I have absolutely loved all the individual time that I've been able to have with her. I wouldn't take away any of those moments. I guess all I'm really trying to say, because I don't think anyone should rush anything. Especially if you're 25. Especially if you're 25. Take your time to figure out all the things for yourself. Be selfish and that regard.
Yeah.
Kiss all the people. And, you know, like, just figure out what you like.
Yeah.
So fun.
I was going to ask, do you feel like you knew that? Because earlier you said on like that first date you had, you know, things that you were able to speak out loud right away about, like things that you like, you don't like, certain things about yourself to know, like what helps you be more vulnerable. Like, do you think looking back that certain experiences throughout your 20s leading up to you being where you're at now, that those were necessary in order for you to be able to have known yourself better as you met your husband, and also to be able to kind of like, I think, approach life in that way at like through your growth?
Absolutely.
Speaking of like rushing earlier, because I think that's sometimes why some people always are like, okay, I'm ready for this. I want to do this. And sometimes I'm observing people like yourself, and when you tell me, like, you know, take your time on those things, I'm always curious, like, okay, like, why? Like, what did you learn, like, looking back? Because you have more, you know, insights than me.
Well, I just think, you know, the more we practice, the more, you know, the better we do. And the more we know what we like and we don't like. And so I think, you know, the thing I would say is not necessarily to be cautious, because I think part of being young and learning about yourself is taking risks. So I really encourage trying things, taking risks, and not being hard on yourself when they don't work out. As they say in business, if you're going to fail, fail fast. And so I think it's forcing yourself to continue down a path that isn't right for you is the only kind of, I think, mistake someone can make.
And that goes, I'd say, probably in all aspects of life, both wrong relationship or wrong career or, you know, wrong environment.
I think when you're young too, you have to try a lot of things that don't always feel great. I think there's a very clear and important distinction to draw between things that feel like a bit of a slog or a challenge, or maybe, you know, not as fun as like being at the beach with your friends, you know, versus like, this is a toxic relationship, or this is, you know, an abusive manager, or whatever those things are. And I think no one has to withstand those circumstances, but you know, a lot of, I think, being in our 20s is just figuring things out and testing things, and just, you know, being really hardworking and really resilient.
What is one piece of tip or insight you would share for women who want to tap into that holistic health side more, and as they're learning more about skincare and like the types of foods that they eat, where is like a place that you would recommend for them to start if there was a place?
Lanae Botanicals. So funny. Sophia, who works with me, has been begging me for years to write a cookbook, which I have zero time to do. I like to focus on abundance rather than like removing things or diet. So just introduce as many colorful fruits and vegetables into your life every single day. Diversity, species diversity is a huge sort of mission pillar of our brand, and why we incorporate so many unique, interesting species. It's really a way for us to support ethnobotanical diversity, cultural preservation, you know, environment, so many elements. But diversity of food just does wonderful things for our gut microbiome. It makes eating fun. So that's really important. Tons of leafy greens, hydrating things. Fat is so important. So important for all of our organs in the body. Healthy fats. Obviously tons of water. These are all kind of the basic things. Getting good sleep. Not being overly aggressive with our skincare products. We have to remember that the skin's primary job is to be a barrier against the outside world. And so when we use really harsh ingredients, we can really upset that barrier. So Lanae is really all about supporting the skin's barrier response.
If there was one or two products you would recommend them to start with from Lanae, which would that be?
It would have to be our two best sellers, our Purify face wash and mask.
Okay. Love that too.
it feels so good, smells so good. Mm-hmm. It's a great way to control blemish prone skin mm-hmm. in a way that isn't harsh, and it's super microbiome friendly. Mm-hmm. I developed this product actually initially for my father because he was, as a surgeon, always wearing a mask.
Yeah.
And so I developed a lot of like mask knee type symptoms.
Yeah.
And then our Renew face serum. Okay. And Renew is a product that I initially developed for my mother. My mother never had any skin issues per se, but she was, my mother is very beautiful and has always taken exceptional care of herself. So she really kind of inspired me also in sort of that, you know, element of self-care and kind of even just the self-indulgence of of wearing beautiful clothes and dressing oneself in a certain way. She always used very sophisticated, expensive skincare products. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to prove that, extraordinarily sourced naturals could absolutely rival cosmeceutical skincare. So Renew is our testament to that. It's a vitamin C hyaluronic acid, niacinamide, retinol alternative. So because it's retinol alternative too, it is safe for pregnancy.
I love that. And I do use that. I mix it with both oils, depends on morning and night. Again, I'm actually genuinely super obsessed with the product. So I'm really glad I was able to discover you and just kind of learn more about your journey in building it and really what Lanae stands for. And yeah, I'm such a huge advocate.
Thank you so much for having me. This is such a pleasure.
Of course. And one last question. It's something I ask every guest, but in reflecting on everything in your life and your family and what you've built, what would you say ultimately fulfills you in life?
Just human. Yeah, I think human connection. I shouldn't exclude non-humans. I was sitting on my daughter's bed this morning and my dog was leaning up against me. Aww. My daughter was on my lap and I just started crying and I really thought how fulfilled I felt and that there is, I mean, I love my husband, I love my mom and dad, I love my sister, the list goes on.
Yes.
But just in that moment, I was like, this is what life is all about.
Yeah. Thank you again so much for your wisdom. This was actually a very great conversation. Where can everyone find Lanae, shop, anything like that?
LanaeBotanicals.com, baby. and we're on Instagram. We're like sort of on TikTok, but we're mostly on Instagram. LINNE. Botanicals.
Amazing.
Send us a DM. Let us know you found us through Emily Elizabeth.
Yes.
We always have fun promotions going. New subscribers get 20% off.
Yes.
We have an incredible team who is happy to always make custom recommendations. We work with all sorts of skin concerns and disorders and are really, really happy to be part of your skin transformation journey. So reach out if you have any needs and desires.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
That was all for today's episode with Jenna Levine, the founder of Lanae Botanicals. If you are interested in checking them out, you can enjoy 10% off with the code WHATFULFILLSYOU. Everything will be linked and noted in the show notes. As always, if this episode was helpful or useful in any way, I would greatly appreciate it if you could share this with a friend, post this on your Insta story, tag What Fulfills You on Insta, and myself as well at Emily E. Duong. Again, all of the social media links are in the show notes. Thanks again for tuning in to today's episode. I will chat with you all in the next one.